Welcome to Music Journeys. I'm Mike Foley. Harmony Project puts on another inspirational concert November 7th. How It Feels to Be Free, the Concert for Community, features the nation's largest community chorus on stage at the Ohio Theater. The sold-out show includes performances by incarcerated adults from Central Ohio, exploring themes of self-realization and community transformation through songs and stories of hope, redemption, and freedom. It's part of the mission for Harmony Project, formed in Columbus in 2009, to build a stronger and more inclusive community through the arts and volunteer services. It certainly accomplished that, as you'll hear in this special edition of Music Journeys. We spoke with Harmony Project's founder and creative director, David Brown, about his own journey and how he turned this idea into a reality. And we'll mix in some of the behind-the-scenes work of the Harmony Project, including how the power of music, community, and purpose transform the attitudes and outlook of those who participate. We have some fun with David Brown at the end, too, as he agreed to carry on the tradition started by Tano Jones, singing the responses to the Fast Five. You're going to love it. David Brown of the Harmony Project, our featured guest on this edition of Music Journeys. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm David Brown. I'm the creative director of Harmony Project here in beautiful Columbus, Ohio. And this is my and Harmony Project's Music Journey.
Members of Harmony Project's Prison Arts Programs delivered that performance in November 2023 as part of World Kindness Day. Compassion, community, inclusivity, empowerment, and service are the hallmarks of Harmony Project. Founder and creative director David Brown sees the latest concert as a way to embody freedom in art.
Freedom is an art form. It's something like a song or a sculpture. It's something that can be shaped, and it's something that can be kind of curated and created, you know, depending on how we approach it. And that we wanted to use our voices in the way that we work with our chorus, the way that we work with our student programs, our immigrant and refugee students, our differently abled population, and the people who are incarcerated, to use their voices to access an emotional freedom. Because not all of them can break free of societal challenges, economic challenges, geographic locations. But if we can help them find that internal freedom of their voice, then we feel like we've kind of done what our mission is all about, is that bringing people together and understanding that we don't have to be all best friends, we don't have to all, you know, get along. In fact, we don't. But that we do have to work together. And that's the thing that we can't avoid. If we want something to change, we have to be able to work together. And maybe music is a way that we can help people put aside some of those things that divide us and find something in common, one thing in common, and then build from there. And this concert is kind of a celebration of the work of the last 6 months of our mission. And it's going to feature voices from the immigrant and refugee student population. It's going to feature voices from the differently abled community. It's going to feature solo voices and spoken word pieces from men and women who are incarcerated, some of whom have been incarcerated for 20, 30, 40 years.
through Harmony Project's long-standing partnership with the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Correction and South Africa's Sunflower Children's Hospice, they launched the Sunflower Music and Arts Festival, which combined incarcerated individuals from three Ohio prisons to perform at the Ohio Reformatory for Women.
So if Harmony Project is going to live up to its mission of building community, then that means going into the community, wherever that community may exist.
PCI is pulling up out there right now, so they're joining us as well. And then all the women are here, and you'll see where we're going to be performing, and I'll tell you all about the whole day.
We have become community today. I'm referring to our men from Pickaway Correctional and Madison Correctional, plus our incredible women from ORW.
What we've seen today was all three entities working together for the same cause, and it's never been done before, and it's remarkable, and one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in the 28 years that I've worked for this department.
What is so important to us about this prison arts program is that we have found a way to empower their voices within the prison so that those voices can be catalysts for change.
Arts belong in a correctional facility because it's a piece of wellness that we all need.
The rate of incarceration in Ohio is high, but our recidivism rate is one of the lowest in the United States. And I contribute that to some of the programming that's going on.
A lot of us can't sing a lick, but yet I felt empowered today. I sung my heart out and I heard my brothers and sisters singing their hearts out.
Everyone that comes into the Ohio Reformatory for Women, it's not what they think it is in a positive way.
People need to know who we are as people, not as the crimes we committed, because that's the smallest part of who I am.
Bringing volunteers here to the institution, and then they become ambassadors to go out and tell everybody. We sang at ORW, we sang at PCI, we sang with the men at Madison.
Many of the women, when they are released from this institution, end up joining Harmony. They say, oh my gosh, had I not been at ORW and known about Harmony, and now I'm a member of the choir, and now I'm able to give back. I'm seeing that the world is bigger than me.
It's been time, but let's continue to give people chances when they release.
But your mama always said, look up into the sky, find the sun on a cloudy day.
This is not traditional stuff, you know what I mean? But what they're doing is changing our lives, for real.
It made me feel like more than anything, my voice mattered in the world, even with being incarcerated, and it made me feel loved.
David Brown formed Harmony Project in Columbus in 2009 with an initial chorus of 100 people who agreed to sing and serve in their community. The organization's grown to more than 1,000 people with various concerts and performances. For Brown, it's all about trying to share the gift that music gave him.
Music for me was an escape. And I knew I was gay very early on, although I didn't really know what that meant, but I knew I was different. You know, growing up in a very conservative evangelical Christian home in the South, in Louisiana, music at church was my true spirituality. I don't know if I ever really believed in a lot of the dogma, but the music is what moved me. And I remember being young and standing on the pew. So I was really small. So I was standing on the pew and I was next to my mother who was standing up. And I remember we were singing, Tell Me the Old, Old Story. That was a big Southern Baptist hymn. And I just remember getting chills, and I was probably 4 or 5 years old at the most, and it was this collective experience of everybody in this room singing the same song at the same time. There was something about that that just turned me on to, like, this experience of singing en masse, you know? And then through high school, you know, it was like an escape to kind of my identity of like going in my room, closing the door, sliding my dresser over so no one could open the door and walk in on me while I am work and share routine, you know, in the middle of my room, singing along to Karen Carpenter, singing along to Tina Turner, and then, of course, branching out to Barry Manilow and Kiss and Peter Frampton. The musical tastes were diverse back then as well. But music for me was, I think it's where I felt the most equal to everyone else. Music was where I was kind of not poor. Music was where I was not excluded. Music was where I could close my door and I could imagine an audience in front of me and singing and dancing and having a great time. And so I think that that just became the natural kind of salvation, because I mean, I grew up in an environment that taught that salvation was external. And I think music became my internal salvation. It helped me find the path of what I wanted to be and who I wanted to be. Harmony allows every single person who participates to be a part of something greater than themselves. And who knew there were this many people who had had the same kind of experience that I've had of wanting to belong and wanting to be part of something greater than themselves.
Oh, I'm a baritone. I'm the that part that, you know, give it that flavor, that yeah. I do that part. Being in harmony is a family. You know, when you're incarcerated, I've been incarcerated 36 years. When you have something like this come in, it brings back the humanity in you.
It don't matter your race, the time that you're doing, rather if you can sing or not sing, none of that matters. Once we're in that room, prison and everything, all your worries, well, at least speaking for myself, like all my worries and stuff like that is just gone for just like a few hours, you know what I mean?
A lot of us haven't had brushes or dealings with society. So I see harmony as a vital strategic link in rehabilitation. They are bringing the community, that's what Dave Brown says. He says, since we can't go to them, I'll bring them to you.
We're going to be out in society someday, and we're going to be your neighbors. We're going to be living down the street, working with you. And it's so good to interact with people in society, which helps acclimate us back to society.
It's transformative. The person I used to be, the man I am now, I don't want to be arrogant about it, but I've become my own hero. But the simple fact, I'm not the man I used to be. I'm proud of the man I am now. I can look in the mirror and not look away for something, you know, that has happened in the past. I understand honor, respect, loyalty. I understand these things. These are things I did not learn or wasn't taught when I was younger. And strange enough to say, I've learned them in prison.
If incarceration is supposed to be about rehabilitation, and if it's supposed to be about restoration, then are we just going to treat them like animals for 30 years and then release them and hope that things work out? I don't think that's how it works. Or at least I should say, I think there are alternatives to that.
I can never minimize it or do away with what I've done, but I can try to be the best person I'm supposed to be. I can try to pay respects and homage to the people I've hurt by becoming a better person. So when I put this suit on, I seen what I could be. I seen it for the first time.
We can.
I don't think that I'm the one that makes it sound that way. I think that's what happens when you put that many people together. I mean, that's the secret sauce. If this was a 50-voice choir, and I said you don't have to be able to sing, you'd probably hear those voices stick out more. It's a not-too-subtle metaphor for the community itself. This voice alone might not have the authority in it when it speaks to issues in the community. But when you put it in a group of people whose voices have more an authoritative sound, suddenly that voice that lacks authority has authority because it's with others. So it's not that we're asking that voice to change. We're just strengthening it. It's the stronger voices lifting the weaker. It's not that the weaker is less talented. It's that it's talented in different ways. Because the smaller voice has to also temper the loud ones. Because if it's just the loud voices all the time, then it's just a choir that screams. So the chorus is the not too subtle metaphor for how we exist in community, is that the louder voices have to quiet themselves to hear the quieter voices, and the quieter voices have to step up to be heard. That it requires both coming to this middle space. Because if we don't, there's just screaming and there's just whispering. So that's the secret sauce. This is about all these voices coming together, and look what happens when they do. And then if you translate that to the community, that's where the key is. If we can get the community to understand that the quieter voices and the louder voices have to find balance, then I think our political situation will change. I think our cultural differences will change. I don't think they're going to become perfect or better, but we'll maybe find that middle space again that I think we've lost.
You've taken this to so many amazing places. Is there something, where else do you want Harmony Project to go?
I'm not one of those people that says, you know, our 5-year strategic plan, that's not really my thing. I like the fact, and I think we, those of us who work here, enjoy the fact that we're nimble and that we're able to react to whatever is needed in the community. I think far too often, this isn't a criticism because there's nothing wrong with this, but far too often arts organizations are asked to project, like, 2 years from now, what are you going to be doing to apply for that grant? Well, what the world might need from your organization in 2 years might be very different than what you're planning right now. Now, you have to have some plans, obviously, in place, but I think that it's the role of the arts in our community to be nimble. Because the arts is really the only place where you can react on a dime if something's happening. And you can let the artistic voice speak to that. And you can face it head on. Politics takes long. Art can be in a day. We've had things come up, and by the end of the day, we have a whole new path in front of us, because that's what creativity is. Creativity exists because of chaos. Creativity is the counter to chaos. So if you get too controlled and too planned in your creativity and you don't remain nimble, then maybe you're not relevant when the chaos erupts. So I like to remain nimble, and wherever the future, whatever opportunities open that are right for this organization and that are right for our community and that continue doing and building upon what we do, we're going to say yes.
Listeners talk about all the time how music gets them through something, how it's such a healer. Mm-hmm. For you, can you describe what music means to you and what this gem Harmony Project has meant to you?
Sure. What music is to me is my spirituality. My spirituality used to be defined by religion. My spirituality now is defined by music. It's what reconnects me to my heart, what gets me out of my head, gets me out of the paranoia of what's going on in the world. And the great privilege that I have is finding the right songs that are going to work for a group of 500 diverse people in a community chorus, that will also work for differently abled adults, that will also work for incarcerated men, incarcerated women, immigrant and refugee students who do not speak English, and having to find a song that all of those groups will find connection in. So it's not easy. I might listen to hundreds of songs before I come up with a 12-song set list. We were at Madison Correctional Institution, and the young man who runs the gym, who's incarcerated there, his name is Sylvester. And Sylvester comes over to me, and he kind of always is in the background a little bit. And he didn't sing with us at first. He was very, always stood with his arms across his chest, kind of had one eyebrow up, like a little suspicious of what this was. And now he sings along, and he can actually sing. He's actually got a pretty voice. And we were singing a song that Demi Lovato wrote called Anyone. And it was in a crisis when she was suicidal. And the song says, I tried to talk to my piano, I tried to talk to my guitar, I talked to my imagination and confided into alcohol. I tried and tried and tried some more, told secrets till my voice was sore. I'm tired of empty conversations because no one hears me anymore. And then the chorus is, anyone, is there anyone? Lord, is there anyone? I need someone. Sylvester came up to me, and he had tears in his eyes, and he's a pretty tough guy, you know? And he goes, how did you know this song was going to do this for us? And I was like, because it did it for me. That's the magic. And that's what we're all about, is accessing that human connection to the lyric and then letting all of these people become storytellers. And then once they become storytellers, then the audience is the recipient and the beneficiary of that story. And then they walk out with those lyrics and then they share them. It all goes back to that day standing in church on that pew with my mother and that kind of goosebump feeling of like, what's happening here? Now, when I was 5, you know, they put me in what was called a retarded class back then. That was the word they used. I don't know why. I mean, I just didn't fit in with everybody else, and I read the book too fast and things like that. But I've always been sensory heightened. And maybe it was that day that I was supposed to be standing on that bench and having that sensory experience. But whatever it was, I had it. And in that moment that I could still trace back to, I knew there was something powerful. And it wasn't about what we were singing. It wasn't about the fact that it was in church. It was about the fact that there were all these people. And when they started singing, that happened to me. Well, now I get to help that happen to so many others as part of a team that works with all these people. Because when they sing, that's what all those people out in the community get. They get those goosebumps.
Remarkable. We had a little more fun with David Brown in the Fast Five, and that extra voice and laughter you'll hear comes from Peggy Meckling Baker, Communications Director at Harmony Project, who sat in with us and helped schedule the interview. Thank you, Peggy. Here we go.
Wait, and I'm literally supposed to sing the answers?
Let me get my phone out.
Right. This is good. Right, we could do a TikTok for the young
No,
kids,
we don't.
Or whatever, you know. Snapchat, whatever it is.
And especially because you're filming from the side. No one's ever allowed to film me from the side.
David, this is my good side. I don't know.
No. Side angles. Unless somebody's going to hold me up on this side.
Okay. And there's only 5.
Okay.
Just quick.
Only 5.
What's the first song you can remember hearing that you loved?
Hotline, hotline. Calling on the hotline for your love, for your love. That was the first song I remember loving.
I'm a disco queen, baby. The groove, it was their outfits, it was that I could dance to it, and it was easy to learn too, and I could harmonize with it. It's a song, the first song I ever learned to like harmonize with.
How about a song that makes you feel the most nostalgic, sparks memories for you?
Time in New England took me away to long rocky beaches and you by the bay. The thought of me holding you, bringing us near. Now tell me, when will our eyes meet? When will I touch you? When will this strong yearning end? And when will I hold you again? Time in New England, Barry Manilow.
Beautiful. Just keep going, Dave.
No!
What was it about that one that you...
I think it was... he was the first male singer that I could sing along with range-wise when I was younger. And my mother had a thing for Barry Manilow, Neil Diamond, you know, that was that time frame. And so those albums were in our house. And I don't know, I think it was because it was around puberty. So I was kind of becoming more of my boy self, you know, at that time. And there was something about that song that always made me cry when I was a kid. And it was therapeutic for me. I don't know why, because the song doesn't make any sense to... I mean, I don't even know what freaking New England was. I was in small town Louisiana. But there was something about the way he sang the story. Barry Manilow is a storyteller. And, I mean, ironically, he didn't write I Write the Songs, but he told stories in the way that he sang. And I think that that influenced me in the way that I wanted to help music. I'm all about the lyric. I mean, I think Peggy will tell you, I'm always about the... You're singing it in a way that doesn't make sense. Like, you need to sing it the way you would speak it. Tell the story.
Your go-to song for dancing, or a tune that you hear and you just can't sit still when you hear it.
Oh, I have so many. But I'll start with, the sun is shining in the sky. There ain't a cloud in sight. It stopped raining and everybody's in the play. And don't you know, Mr. Blue Sky's here today. Hey, ELO, baby. Oh,
great. And what is it? What's special about that one?
Oh, I don't know. I can be in the worst mood in the world, and I can put on almost anything by ELO except Telephone Line. That song makes me cry. But if I put on Mr. Blue Sky or Don't Bring Me Down, I'm good, man. I'm just good. I can Swiffer for 2 hours without even thinking about it in the house. I can get all the laundry done. I can get all the dishes done. I can go out and mow the yard. I mean, that song just gets me going. Yeah.
Kind of along those lines, yep. Maybe you should have saved that for this one.
Okay.
Song that makes you feel like working out or motivates you to do something that maybe you don't feel like doing at the time.
Kind
Express
of that Yourself by Madonna. Okay, hold on. You've got to make him express himself. Hey, 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 hey. Now if you want it right now, come on and show you how. You get what you've got, baby, ready or not. Express Yourself. Yep, love that song. When that video came out, she's out there in that bustier and she's just kind of like got the whip and she's making all the men bow down to her. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of what I want, you know? I just want them all to bow down. But I don't know, there's just something about that song. You know, that was the precursor and kind of the ripoff by Lady Gaga, Born This Way. It's all the same chord progression, by the way. But, you know, it was kind of the first song in pop culture that came out that said to my generation, be who you are, you know, screw them, express yourself, be who you are. And you had this ballsy person up there, you know, who was just herself. And even if she freaked some people out, she was consistently who she was. And I think that there was just something about that in the 80s and being able to just dance and be free and be who you are, especially in the middle of the AIDS crisis, when everyone around us was dying, when we were all afraid that we were gonna get it and that we were gonna be next, and that there was this song that just kind of said, forget about that, dance, express yourself. There was some salvation in that song.
Beautifully said. Last one is a song that lifts you up when you're feeling down.
I've looked at life from both sides now, from up and down, but still somehow, it's life's illusions I recall. I really don't know life at all. Both Sides Now by Joni Mitchell. I did that song with the choir a couple of years ago. It's always been a song that I feel like she was in my head when she wrote it.
because it's about looking at things two different ways. And yet it's really that space between those two ways. And that's what the work is. That's what life is. That's what it all is for me. It's about remembering to look at it from this side and from that side, but you don't have to land in either one of those. That's the great freedom of life, is learning that you don't have to land in either side. You can land somewhere in between those two.
David Brown, thank you so much for your time and for enriching our lives with all this music through this creative community connecting force known as Harmony Project. Well, it's just been great.
Thank you.
Now, even though the upcoming concerts sold out, the stories of the men and women who worked with the Harmony Project will be featured in an art exhibit opening to the public November 22nd. To learn more and connect with Harmony Project, visit harmonyproject.com. And one more treat for you before we wrap up this edition of Music Journeys. We mentioned Peggy sitting in with us, and she shared a song with us in September of 2023, and we started playing it on another show I host called The Morning Mix, and the response was just incredible. So we're going to close out this edition. We had to ask David about it. The song, Downtown. Can I ask you one more thing real
sure,
fast?
Sure, sure.
Downtown. What can you tell me about the song, Downtown?
Downtown, let's go downtown.
Downtown
tonight.
Yeah, Peggy shared it with me, and listeners just go bonkers for it.
Yeah,
what is it like? How did you?
I think we adapted the lyrics a little bit, you know, because it is kind of a throwback because he talks about doing the Charleston and doing different things like that, but it still works. I don't know. I think with the resurgence of a lot of mid-sized cities, kind of reinvesting in their downtowns again, you know, for a lot of folks, I mean, think about this: until 10 years ago, the closest that people would go to downtown was the Short North, you know? And now I think people are starting to realize, oh, like, we're a city. And I think downtown just invites people. I mean, it says, it's just an invitation. That's what that song is. It's come on, let's go, let's dance, let's do this, let's do that. I think it's a nostalgia. I don't know if we're all aware that it's a nostalgia, but I think it's a nostalgia for when we felt safer. And when we were more connected and we weren't all arranging everything on our phones and where we're going to meet and double checking to see where they're coming, we hopped in the car and we went. And, you know, we miss that today. And I think that song has that nostalgic kind of vibe to it of inviting us to just put all this other nonsense away. Let's just all get in the station wagon and go.
recorded in June 2023, Harmony Project's rendition of Neil Young's Downtown, helping us wrap up this edition of Music Journeys. I'm not sure how we're supposed to follow this edition of the show, but we'll do our best. Thank you for listening, and heartfelt gratitude to everyone at Harmony Project and for allowing us access to their archives to use in this episode. I'm Mike Foley. Talk to you again on the next Music Journey.
Raghav Raj. I'm the student intern here at 90.5 WCBE. Did you know that you can tune into this show on WCBE's new app? Whether you're on the go or staying home, the WCBE app lets you listen to our programming online anytime. For local music, community news, and original podcasts, find WCBE on the App Store or the Google Play Store today.
Did you know that Big Bird was originally supposed to fly on the Challenger space shuttle? Or how about this one? The guy who invented Pringles was buried inside a Pringles can. Ever heard of Willie Higginbotham? All of these are episodes of the Internet Says It's True podcast. Every week is a bizarre story from history that sounds fake, but is absolutely true. It's like taking a history class, but where all the topics are weird and fun. You can listen through the podcast experience at WCBE.org and subscribe on the NPR One app. The Internet Says It's True.